dbkmediaservices.com.
Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Hello there, SVC sports fans, and welcome in to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. This is episode 171, I believe, Shane. I don't know that I looked that up until just now, but 171 shows, and we are glad that you are with us. This is going to be our Triple Crown Family Fun Center girls basketball preview show. And a little different, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. But first, again, we'd like to thank our billboard sponsor, Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Of course, it's located just behind the Hampton Inn right off of Bridge Street at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe. And they are open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. You can give them a call at 740-773-7529 or find them on the web where you can get probably the most information you can swallow there at www.triplecrownfamilyfuncenter.com. And they are our billboard sponsor and have been for all these, what, 6 years now, Shane, I believe?
Absolutely. I really appreciate what they do.
Yeah,
they
sure do. Well, Shane, we are into the winter season. I saw something the other day that said we were entering meteorological winter, I believe, on December 1st, whatever that means. I've always thought, you know, winter starts in December, middle December, December 21st or something like that. But we've got all kinds of things going on, including winter on SVC Sports Talk. So what can the fans look for as we enter this winter season?
Well, this is such an exciting time for me. You know, with me being a varsity baseball coach here, over the last 10 years or so, and I've been involved in SVC baseball somewhere every year since I've been in high school. So what's happened is over the last decade or so, a lot of people do start to associate me a little bit more with baseball, where in reality, if you go back over the last 30 years from a manager to a junior high player to a high school player, I spent about 10 years over on the boys' side coaching at the varsity level. I've had chances to work with multiple little league programs, multiple camps, a little junior high action. And then here the last 4 or 5 years, I started to kind of try out the varsity level on the girls' side. And so it's an incredible passion for me. This is where I truly am in my wheelhouse, where I get to just sit back and talk SVC basketball. And what we're going to do, guys, is do the two different shows. We're recording here on Monday night, so the girls' show coming out on Tuesday, the boys on Wednesday. So depending on listeners, obviously when you're listening to this, do make sure you get over and check out the boys' side. But we'll probably name nearly 50 kids plus on both shows. A lot of basketball topics, but mainly just trying to break down the teams and the players and then maybe even throw in a prediction or two. But glad to have Derek back with us here again, Bruce. Just a lot of fun. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, Derek, did you know that I have Shane's theme song available right now? Did you know that?
No, I did that. What is his theme song?
Here, I'm not sure what that is.
They're playing bad.
All around the world.
Yeah, that's the Shane Combs theme song right there. As we bring Derek Webb of the Chillicothe Gazette, he has joined us in the fall, and we couldn't get rid of him after that because he likes this stuff. So
introduction?
Yeah. But we do like you. You know, you get us free food and stuff like that, don't you?
That's correct.
Although I've yet to see that. But anyway, Derek Webb, welcome. And in the Gazette, what's going on there in the sports room?
Well, as Shane kind of mentioned, for a little bit here, for the last 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, we've had a little bit of a down period with volleyball and football ending. And so I've kind of been just sitting twiddling my thumbs for a while. So I'm really happy that basketball's back in full swing. And last weekend we did the Paint Valley Lady Cats Classic. This weekend we'll do the Zane Trace Tip-Off Classic. And, it's jam-packed from there. So Really excited to just kind of see what our area has to offer. And I'm really hoping that that tournament draw at the end of the season doesn't pit a lot of our own teams against each other, like it kind of did last year. So yeah. a lot going on up here in the newsroom.
Well, as we get started, we've got an email right out of the box here. And it's kind of relating a point guard within the basketball to maybe a scorer versus and the scorer versus the setter and the hitter in volleyball, Shane. And, you know, they say, is this a valid comparison? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, guys, I think one thing we're in for, just based on what I saw at the end of the fall, we have a lot of listeners who are really into both the volleyball and the basketball setting. And just in listening, I don't think it's a bad getting the inbox. I think we're getting a lot of these connections between the two sports, which I think is great. I don't think it's a bad comparison, guys. I mean, when you think of your leader, your quarterback, if you will, you obviously the passer leads into the set a little bit. The one thing I'll say about basketball, and maybe I'm point guard biased, and that's fine.
You are.
The point guard is really, really important. It's a must. I mean, you simply can't be good if you're not good at point guard. You talk about leadership. You talk about extension of the coach. Obviously, it helps if you're talented there. You need to be able to handle the ball and know the game and play the game. But yeah, the point guard position, when I connect it to the setter, I certainly see a lot of the same characteristics. So, yeah, I think that comparison's a pretty solid one.
Okay. All right. Mr. Webb, any thoughts?
Yeah, it's weird that this email came about. We had, like I had mentioned a little bit earlier, when I covered the Lady Cats Classic this past weekend, Zay Trace's John Denon, their head coach, talking about Ashton Ward and how she's converted from a setter to the point guard on the Pioneers basketball team there. And, you know, he kind of said, he's like, you know, and this is his exact words, you know, she's a really good point guard because she's a setter. And so I kind of asked him to follow that up, like, what do you mean by that? And you know, we kind of talked about the jumping ability, the timing of things, the rebounds. And, of course, as a point guard, you're not going to get a lot of rebounds. And they expect Ashton to do that just because of the instincts that setter position gives her on the basketball floor. So I thought that was really insightful.
Sounds like a valid comparison then, particularly if other people are making it.
That's an interesting comment.
Yeah. Well, speaking of point guard play this year, what's your opinion of the point guard play in this year's league, Shane?
Well, in certain areas, I think it's a little unknown. You know, when you look at some of the youth that Adina and Westfall is going to go through, and then, you know, he just mentioned Ward. I think McGill at Huntington falls into that a little bit too, where a lot of times you're a program that's graduated some kids, maybe looking at certain kids even if it's not their perfect position, to kind of step in leadership-wise. I had a chance to see Dobbins play at Eastern Valley the other night, a much-improved, good player. Avery Reuter at Piketon. Southeastern's an interesting thing because, you know, they have the ability to use schemes there, obviously. You know, when you put the ball in her hand, she becomes just kind of tough to handle as she comes into the scrimmage area with the ball already in her hands. And then, you know, Uniota is going to mix some experience with youth. And, you know, I think when you look at the past, we graduated some kids last year, like Robinson, like Sams. But overall, I think the point guard position is pretty solid. And I think the key to look at is it is such an important thing that you'll see some coaches that if they don't have that quote unquote prototypical point guard, a lot of times they'll just kind of turn to their most experienced ball handler and ask them to kind of to lead the team.
Derek?
Well, I mean, you know, I think that the point guard play and just kind of the names that Shane just mentioned now, we're lucky to see a lot of good point guard play down here in Southeastern Ohio, especially on the girls' side. And you know, a couple of my favorites, as Shane kind of hit on, was, you know, Avery Reuter of Pike, and I love watching her play. I think she just gets after it. She can get up in her defender. I mean, you know, or well, when she's on defense, she can get up in whoever she's guarding. And I mean, she just, she just has this go-get-it attitude, this gritty, gutty performance that she just consistently puts those out. And then when you talk about Alex Skeens at Southeastern, I mean, she can pretty much do everything there is on a basketball floor at the high school level. So, you know, I mean, I won't beat a dead horse or you know, rehash the things that Shane just said, but I'm in complete agreement. I mean, it's really fun to watch the talent that we have at that position.
Well, it sounds like it'll be an exciting year, and so let's just get right into the meat of the matter, so to speak. And up first, we start at the top with the favorites, and at least in the eyes of most people, to win it all. And as we get into the meat of the matter, let's give a shout out to Crown Hill Golf Club, which can be found at 9500 US Route 22 West, just outside of Williamsport. Give them a call, 740-986-4653, and you can find them on the web, where they have a really good website at crownhillgolfclub.com. And you can take advantage right now of some offerings in the online store. As we speak, they have specials on their 5-day and 7-day memberships, along with their regular offerings of lessons. And you can purchase those right on their website, which, you know, with Christmas right around the corner, it just seems to me that you should look to Crown Hill Golf Club for everything for the golfer on your shopping list. And we appreciate their sponsorship here of our show. So we're going to start, and this is really based on the here on the of what Shane is getting as to the order in which we'll go through the league here on the girls' side. The first top one that lots of people seem to think that they are the best team, and we'll get our sports nerds' thoughts here as we get on into this, but are the Southeastern Lady Panthers. And Shane, do you think they are the best team?
Well, it's certainly fair to put them here at the top in the preseason poll. You're talking about a team at 13-1 a year ago, 20-4 overall, and you know, it's a situation when you have a player like Ella Skeens coming in now to her junior year on the doorstep of 1,000, teammate Audrey Wheeler starting her senior year right there at the doorstep with her. Anytime you have two kids of that size and athleticism, they have the versatility to score from the three-point line and transition on the drive and the post. Pretty good free throw shooters. They cause a huge problem for an opposing coach when you go to start a scouting report, and then you throw in a size of Collins in the middle, and then you just have a lot of athletes with the Mittens and Heiss and Morris and so forth down the roster there. What happens in the course of 32 minutes, athletes like that are winning a lot of those 50-50 balls. They're able to defend. They give depth to Coach Adams. And so all of that experience combined together, when you start winning extra possessions for scorers like Skeens and Wheeler, that's usually a formula for success. So, yeah, there's a lot to like about this year's Southeastern Lady Panthers.
Derek, what are your thoughts on Southeastern?
You know, I think I said this, I compare them to Adina Volleyball, but I said this when we did the SVC Volleyball Preview Show, is that, you know, if Adina didn't win the SVC in volleyball, then they underperformed. And that would be, to me, the same sentiment with the Southeastern Panthers and the girls' basketball race. I mean, you know, they come in here as strong, heavy favorites to win. And a lot of people think they'll win a gold ball as well. And, you know, when you have two kids like Audrey Wheeler and Ella Skeens that can put the ball in the hole, and then you got a Rachel Collins, you throw now a freshman Skylar Heiss in the mix. Callie Mitten's back when she gets back from injury, and McKinley Mitten, a tough-nosed player. And then Mandy Morris, as you know, a sixth man or even a seventh man, you know, you start to see depth, you start to see skill, and they can play. And then not only can they score, but they can play defense as well. And, you know, they've got a lot of kids in their locker room that have played 50 to 60 varsity basketball games. They know how to win. So, I mean, yeah, I don't think it's unfair to say that the Panthers are the clear favorites.
Shane, what is there something that really makes them so elite, or is it just the lineup that we've kind of reviewed?
Well, it's certainly the talent, but beyond that, I think, like, for example, don't get too wrapped up in what happened over at Paint Valley against Wheelersburg the other day. We've touched on the one thing you're going to see for fans that don't know the area very well.
Yeah.
The one thing you're immediately going to see now that we're to basketball season is our area is a lot better at this sport than they are volleyball. Now, it may not always be the case in the league, but as I said during volleyball, a a lot of that has to do with we're playing better teams. Like Wheelersburg, when you watch them in basketball, they're really, really good. Yeah, I made a point to – I really wanted to watch Southeastern play from floor level the other day. And Southeastern's big. They're strong. They're athletic. Now, you know, Wheelersburg athletically started to take them out a little bit. But honestly, you know, 80, 90% of the league games Southeastern plays, they're simply going to be the bigger, faster, stronger, more experienced team. So, yeah, though that alone, along with the elite players there at the top of the roster, is I think what makes them so elite.
Derek, any more thoughts on that? You kind of touched on several different factors previously.
No, you know, I think we touched on them all. I mean, again, you've got two kids that are scoring over 14 points and averaging six rebounds a game, those are last year's numbers. But I as those two to be at the same level, and then when those two are, you know, hitting on all cylinders, as they say, I mean, it's really tough to beat Southeastern unless you have that type of firepower. And in the SEC right now, it's a young league, mm-hmm. but I don't see another team having that much firepower to overcome those two.
All right. Next, based on the feedback that we're getting, it seems to be Uniondo and Piketon are kind of number two and three, depending on who you talk to and so forth. And the question that's come to us is, does Uniondo have enough to take down Southeastern, Shane?
Well, I certainly think they have enough in terms of talent. I think the biggest thing to remember here is Uniota's talent level on a given night's good enough to beat anybody on their schedule. I think the probably what makes Southeastern the favorite over the long haul is over the 14-game grind. I think that's where most people I'm talking to feel you'd give them the lead. You know, Uniondo goes 5-18 a year ago. That's something that we're not real accustomed to, you know, in terms of girls basketball, sure. Uniondo. Now, keep in mind, a lot of that has to do with non-league schedule they play and so forth. So, but you know, they have really talented freshman class coming in that's had a lot of attention, and rightfully so. They are very talented. But let's make sure that we understand this is a team that returns some really, really nice pieces. 5-18 or not, you know, you start on this roster with Caroline Field, and what she does from an opposing coach standpoint is she just puts pressure on you immediately, because again, she can score in the post, she can shoot the three, she's going to naturally rebound her size. But if you look over the last 10 games of the year last year, there wasn't a better player in our league in terms of production. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Ella Skeens because she's phenomenal, but in terms of production, Caroline Field did some incredible things. And what happens a lot of times as a post player, you're at the mercy of your guard play. Like over on the boys' side, we'll talk a little bit about Dylan Swingle and so forth. What happens with Caroline Field is a lot of times, now that you're able to take Atkins and Sigmund and you're able to throw in some of these younger pieces like Coleman and Cottrell and Stalley and so forth, and not to mention this long line. I mean, Coach Miller just has a line of like 5'9", 5'10 girls to just go to whenever he needs to. So, I mean, you're talking about the size and the athletes and the depth to really pick up the pace a little bit. So, I mean, to answer your question, I think it would be completely unfair to say that they don't have the talent to. I think the factor will be, will they find their identity quick enough, and will they be able to be consistent enough over the 14-game haul to be there in the end with the Southeastern?
Derek, how about it? Does Uniondo have to have what it takes to beat Southeastern?
You know, I think I love my statistics, and the crazy thing to me is that Uniondo goes 5-18 last year, and then Jeff Miller is still 75-44 as a head coach. Yeah. I mean, that's nuts to me. So you have, you know, a top-notch coach on the sideline with a lot of raw talent. You mentioned Cree Stelly and Emily Coleman, who are supposed to be very, very good basketball players, along with Alexis Miller, along with Hallie Pinkerton, along with the rest of that freshman class. If that freshman class can come together on one night and contribute with Theo and Summer Sigmund and Carly Atkins, I really think that, you know, maybe on a good night, Uniondo could upset Southeastern. And I tell you what, if Southeastern plays a stagnant offense like it did against Wheelersburg, if you get after them like the Shermans have done in the past on defense, they could create matchup problems. However, I'd say 8 out of 10 times right now, I put my money on Southeastern in that matchup. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, to answer your question, yeah, they do have enough. They just have to put it all together on the same night.
I see. What about Piketon? What makes them so difficult to play against, Shane?
Well, I know Coach Carrito. He's probably as all this preseason stuff comes out, he's loving him some Uniota attention. I'll guarantee it. Because what's happening is Piketon's just flying right under the radar, which is nuts. I mean, Piketon's a 16-7 basketball team from a year ago. They return quite a bit. They graduated basically one of their top seven, eight players. And what makes them so tough is just their physicality and the tempo they play with. Yeah, Derek did a good job of mentioning the characteristics of an Avery Ruder leading the way there at the point, handling the ball on the one end, pressuring the other point guard on the other end. But then make no mistake about it, what makes Piketon so tough to play against is they have like 5'11", 6 foot in the post. Yeah. I mean, it's Cara Blanton's is nice. I mean, she really can play. She goes to the glass. I made a comment just in watching her play at the preview again, and this kind of goes back to what I said last year. I don't remember in the last 10 years of our league a more relentless rebounder, boys or girls. I mean, she is just relentless to the glass. And when she's playing with a compliment like Summer Travis, I mean, they become a very, very difficult thing to handle. Well, now what's happening, Derek, is Piketon's able to play a little bit faster. Now, the other day when they jumped out on Valley a little bit, you know, a lot of times what will happen is he'll go to the one big and he'll start to surround with, you know, Courtright and Odell and Lytle and Crothers. And, you know, they're starting to shoot the three a little bit more. They're starting to play out in tempo a little bit more. So as long as they can kind of blend that new identity in with what you know is going to be the staple of Coach Carrino, which has always been tempo, work inside out offensively. Yeah, this is an extremely tough team to play against because they're always going to control tempo and they rebound. And when you do those things, you're always going to be right there in the fourth quarter.
Derek, what about you and what do you say about Piketon?
Well, I think it's important to note that, yeah, I mean, Cara Blanton and Avery Ruder are great basketball players. But see, Gracie Lytle and Brianna Odell and Kaylee Courtright and Summer Travis, as we mentioned, I mean, those are all great role players. And now Lytle and Odell have kind of grown up and they're being asked to score 6 to 7 points a game. And they're going to have to do that for Piketon to be successful. Now, the other day against Valley, they did that. Mm-hmm. And I think they can continue to do that. You know, as Shane kind of mentioned, I've always liked watching Brett Carino's Piketon Red Streaks play here, just because they're just so fun to watch on the defensive side of things. I mean, you know, last year they averaged, I think it was around 42 points per game, and they were up there in the top three in the area. And you go 16-7 with a young team like he did last year, and as Shane mentioned, you know, they lost just Faith Pack. Cammie Chandler didn't come back out to play basketball this year. But you bring pretty much everybody back from that. That's another year of experience. That's another year of, okay, we can score more than the 45 we did a game last year. And, I mean, these guys can be very dangerous. Now, having said that, watching them against Valley the other day in the Lady Cats Classic again, you know, they got out to that late lead or that early lead. But then late, they let Valley kind of put together something, some runs. You know, and Mr. Carino's, you know, he told me after the game that his biggest concern is execution. Mm-hmm. He knows what his team can do. They just have to go out there and do it. And again, it's kind of like, you know, Uniota has to come together on one night. If Piketon comes together on one night, they can absolutely beat Southeastern. We saw that, you know, same thing happen against Westfall last year, and that really kind of catapulted the Panthers to the title. So, you know, I mean, I think Piketon can be very, very dangerous on any given night.
Well, guys, we had some input that asked us to compare and contrast two great post players, one of whom you've already mentioned, that being Piketon's Cara Blanton. But what about comparing and contrasting her performance with that of Uniota's Caroline Thiel?
Well, I think it's a fair comparison just because you're talking about two top five post players returning here in the league, two top five overall players, really. But they are quite different, you know. Blanton's a little bit more physical. Like I said, a tenacious rebounder. She is an improved scorer. I thought she started to develop a little bit more of a touch out to about 15 feet. Started to have some good counter moves in the post. Where Thiel's probably a little bit more finesse, but is starting to become a little bit more physical as she gets older. Mm-hmm. I believe someone told me, Derek, 2-3 years ago, they always talked about how young Caroline Thiel was for her grade. So I think what's happened is, you know, she's just starting to come into her own. And as I mentioned, if you think about it, after Christmas, her junior year a year ago, she really became one of the elite players in our area. And so yeah, I think they're both factors. They do it in a little bit of a different way if I was going to compare and contrast them, but obviously both very, very valuable to their team. And man, when you have that enforcer in the middle, it just kind of gives everybody a little bit more freedom. There's a reason Pike, that particular, get after you on the perimeter as well as any team, because there's a big freedom defensively when you know that particular defensive enforcer is behind you.
Derek?
Well, I mean, I think you can compare them easily too, but I'm going to, since Shane compared, I'll contrast. Okay. You know, I think that, Caroline's got a little bit more of a touch on her shot. She can shoot from long range, where Kara, you don't see that happening. And then, as Shane kind of mentioned, Kara crashes the glass. I mean, she's always somewhere on a rebound. Valley's coach the other day, I think he almost went nuts just yelling at his players about, you know, keep her out of the paint. She's constantly in the paint. And Caroline does that same thing. But Kara does it, I mean, by herself. She is Piketon's rebound, where Caroline has a little bit more help on the glass, and she can go out and shoot a three. She can go out and shoot a mid-range jumper. So I think that's the biggest probably contrast that you can make between the two, is Caroline's a little bit more touch on her shot, where Kara can score at will inside. Both are great at the free throw line, though. Shane, I was really impressed by Kara at the free throw line on Saturday. I didn't know she could she showed some touch on her shot.
Kara's, that's what I was, the point I was making, even from the field, just her overall skills with the ball in her hand really, really improved. And that's scary, because she was a kid that was scoring 12, 13, 14 just off of her physicality at the rim. If she starts to develop those, you're talking about a kid that could really progress to being more of a, you know, an 18 point 13 rebound type of kid, and really, really impact our league.
All righty. Well, next up, based on the feedback, seems to be the mention of Paint Valley. And Shane, when we get into Paint Valley, you've got here in the notes that we've got the injury of Talexi Woods being a major, perhaps, impact on the season for Paint Valley.
Yeah, the thing about this, and Derek, jump in here if you know any more, because I know you maybe got a chance to talk to Coach Newland a couple extra times than I maybe have, but you know, it's such a secret. I honestly have no idea. I've heard something from a few weeks to 6 weeks. I mean, this has gone back pretty early in the preseason. You know, obviously, you're talking about a top five player. You're talking about a kid that, gosh, I don't know, probably inside 300 points from 1,000 is just a junior. Yep. Good player. Can really play all five spots. And so, yeah, I mean, her in the lineup or not in the lineup is certainly a factor. Now, Paint Valley has a lot of experience. Derek, I think you'd agree that they could probably run 7, 8, 9 different kids at you. But I think a player of her talent sets that off. You know, as I go down through, their backcourt being a year older was the first thing that jumped out at me, Derek, the other night. Dobbins at the point, handling the ball. She probably had 6, 7 assists, just really did a nice job, then was able to mix in her ability to shoot it. McFadden fought through some early foul trouble, and then I think she hit like 4 threes. They'll bring Crawford off the bench at guard. I know Cammy's gone through some really, really tough injury issues over the last 2 years, and it's good just to see a kid like that kind of back out there playing. Gives them a little depth in the backcourt. But this team, we talked about Kara Blanton a second ago. This team is relentless. I had someone the other night with some stats next to me, unofficially had them for 15 offensive rebounds in the first half of their Northwest win. You know, Newland, Davis, Hackward, Doles. I mean, just a long list of size and athletes that that were just giving them some nice frontline scoring and some rebounding. So, gosh, when you know, Bruce, when you take – the mixture of guards and bigs that I just talked about, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden you throw a top five talent in Lexi Woods. I'm not saying Paint Valley still can't be pretty good,
yeah,
without her. But now all of a sudden you throw in a kid of her size and talent that can play kind of all five positions. It gives Coach Newland that much more depth. I mean, this is a team, Derek, that I can see why the expectations are so high when people are giving me feedback in the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think the last that I heard, Shane, on Lexi's injury was she's out for 6 weeks, and she has ligament damage in her foot. Again, that's hearsay. It's through the grapevine, but that's what I was told. So, you know, Paint Valley, but you know what? I think that is a positive for Paint Valley. I really do. And now, stay with me here.
Okay.
Never is it good to lose a player like Lexi Woods, but she's going to be back this season, and she's going to be helping them at the end of, you know, or at the beginning of a tournament run and the end of the regular season. So what that does is it makes Mikayla Newlin and it makes Leah McFadden and Halo Dobbins and even Emily Davis step up and play. They have to play at a high level now because they don't have that safety blanket of giving Lexi the ball. Now imagine the experience they're going to get in this 6 weeks, and then Lexi comes back. It just makes that team better. And I mean, I really look for the this Paint Valley team to be a very, very maybe a spoiler role. I don't think they're going to win the SVC, but I think they could play a huge part in who does at the end of the year. And that's because of that injury. I think that's, you know, you don't see a lot of people taking a positive out of an injury. But, you know, I talked to even Lexi Saturday afternoon, and, you know, she's in good spirits. She says, you know, I can't wait to be back. And I know from watching her play, she gets after it. And she's going to be chomping at the bit to get out on the hardwood. And when she gets out there, she's going to be helping a team that's got that much more experience under their belt. So, I think Paint Valley will be just fine. I think they're going to be 6 or 7 even games better than the 7-17 that they went last year. But it's going to be fun to watch them progress and just get better as kids and as players.
Totally agree. Good stuff.
Fans, we're only halfway through, so stay with us as we take a look at the other four SVC teams. Well, welcome back to the next segment of SBC Sports Talk, and we are previewing the girls' side of basketball, Shane's favorite time of the year. But first, a mention to our sponsor, CNK Athletic Equipment. Of course, you're supplying them on the web, again, at www.cnkathleticequipment.com. They are your supplier for local school apparel, fitness gear, sports accessories, headwear, and sports equipment. And you can do a lot of your Christmas shopping there as well. Find them at 116 East High Street in Circleville, 740-477-9828. And they are open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 12, and closed on Sunday. And we appreciate them as well. Guys, next we move along to Westfall and Huntington, both teams of which were hammered by graduation. So, Shane, what are the challenges when having a roster full of first-year players? And is it going to be something you can overcome right away?
Well, I'll just tell you from experience coaching, like I said in kind of our introduction here this evening, that in over 20 years of coaching, I've obviously had an opportunity to coach really experienced teams and then just bring in new teams. And it's really a fun time for coaching because you're able to kind of get back to the basics. You're able to really get back and start from scratch a little bit and grow and do some things. Now, there's obviously headaches because, you know, whenever you're dealing with young kids and inexperienced, you're going through a lot of these first times. You're going through their first couple road games. You're going through there's a lot more media coverage. There's a lot more of this. There's a lot more of that. And at the varsity level, let's face it, you're just playing a higher level of basketball and you're playing against better competition and everything. So there's certainly some growing pains and so forth. But, you know, when I look at these teams, they were hammered by graduation. And I've had a chance to see Westfall a couple times in the preseason. I think with Robinson and Blue and company, there's some kids there that have a little athleticism. And I think they're going to grow and adjust to the varsity level within time. Over on the Huntington side, Ricky McGill's pretty much the only one with varsity experience. But even in her role, it's almost like she's a first-year player because she's being asked to take on so much more. I know she really stuffed the stat sheet the other day in the opener. And then Kaylee Hurley as well as a senior that's at least been on the varsity roster. But again, getting some of her first time as her role increases. So what's going to happen is you've got a group coming up underneath those two that's one at the junior high level. They were 14-0 at the JV level last year, but as I just said, this is a different level. You know, Braden Collins, Kelsey McDonald, Riley Back, Cheyenne Conley, Miranda McCloskey, Brody Entler, even Emily Halbaugh as a freshman that's on the roster. So it's a group that's had some success, but we'll just see how they adjust to the varsity level and to the varsity speed. So, you know, Derek, I know you've had a chance to see both of them play. just your take on some of the things that jump out to you as these two schools kind of said goodbye to, gosh, probably a total of almost combined, 13, 14 seniors between the two schools last year, and we have a lot of new faces now.
Well, I channel my inner Nostradamus here, and I'll tell you this, that first of all, Kelsey McDonald and Braden College are future stars. Those two played lights out the other day or on Saturday in that win against West Union. And, you know, I think that's going to continue to happen. There's no slowing those guys down. That's pure talent out on the court. Now, I'm not saying Huntington's going to go out and be, you know, 22-2. I'm just saying that they're going to be better than some people project them to be. They're going to get a couple conference wins. I honestly see them winning 7 to 8 conference games this year. And then when it comes, sorry, Shane, I know you're on that coaching staff. You gotta live up to those projections, right?
Let Coach Snyder know.
Yeah.
You let Coach Snyder know. He will be so happy to hear that. But no, then on Westfall, you know, I think a kid that really impressed me was a freshman named Marcy Dudgeon. She really looked good on Saturday afternoon, and I led the team in rebounds, scored a couple points, dished out a couple assists. So I think she's going to be pretty good. Now, both of these teams, like you said, are going to have their challenges. They're going to go through their growing pains. You know, Westfall experienced that firsthand on Saturday. But again, I mean, kind of like I mentioned earlier with the younger players, it's going to be fun to kind of see these guys progress and you know, really see what type of teams we're looking at the end of the year. Because I really think both have talent. They just have to, you know, kind of, I guess, get experience and grow up on a basketball court.
Shane, that's right. I don't know whether Derek is aware that Eric used to join us on this very same podcast. So,
oh yeah, I mean it was all downhill from there. I mean, once you lose the talent of one Eric,
it was.
We tried to do our best. We apologized to our fans. We just couldn't afford him any longer.
That's right. His people would not get with our people, but yeah. We like Eric. Anyway, let's move along then. What about Zane Trace, Shane?
Well, Derek mentioned Ward earlier, Ashton Ward. She's a really improved athlete. She's a kid that also went through an injury about a year and a half ago, and I thought it kind of slowed her down early in her basketball career, but she's really come on. So I think she's primed to have a great year. Arledge is kind of nursing a little bit of an injury that's kind of been kept quiet. So I don't know a lot about that, but I can just tell that she's not quite right. And I've kind of heard some things here and there. Hopefully she's going to be okay to keep on keeping on, because she had a nice year last year. Shively and Pontius and Unger and Dunkel and Puckett. I mean, you can go down each of these rosters and you see pretty good athletes. You see a lot of kids that you'll recognize from other sports. The thing with Zane Trace, they're a team that's really, really well coached, and they understand tempo. They understand what they need to do. You know, when you watch them in the preview against the athletes of Uniota, Uniota's able to take them out of what they wanted to do. Then you watch them in the other extreme against a team like Manchester, and you start to see what it is they're trying to do. They're a team that, as long as they're able to handle the ball, they can really understand tempo and how they want to play. They kind of become difficult to play against if they can get you into the third or fourth quarter into a close game, because again, they'll continue to grind the tempo. Now, what they're going to struggle with the most, I would think, is a team that has the capability of really pressuring them at four or five spots on the court, because that makes it really tough for them to grind the offense and to control the tempo, and you'll start to see the score push up a little bit. And you saw that in the preview a little bit, so it'll be interesting to see them grow as well. But again, a really, really good coach there on the sidelines does a nice job, and so it'll just be interesting to see how they progress throughout the year.
Derek, any thoughts on ZT?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, when I watched him play the other day, the one thing I will say is Jesse Pontius really impressed me. I didn't know I knew she played volleyball. I knew she was a role player last year, but she kind of really took a leading role in that win over Manchester. I think she had 9 rebounds and 7 points or something along those lines. And you know, she gets up and down the court. She can. She's a force inside. So, I mean, if they get her kind of going, you got the Ward and the Arledge and the Shively. And then I'll also mention Gracie Dunkel. Gracie Dunkel came off the bench, hit a big three, and then kind of played that Avery Reuter-like defense. I kind of compared those two in my mind on Saturday. And it's like, yeah, I can see Gracie becoming the type of point guard that Avery is now. So, I mean, you got maybe that situation to watch there in Kenny Kinnick as well. But, yeah, I mean, just another kind of young team, kind of experienced team. It's kind of a mix of both. I do think they'll have a lot, a boatload more of their three wins than they did last year, and that just comes from experience. So, maybe we'll see Zane Trace go on a little bit of a tournament run themselves.
All right. Last but certainly not least, Adina. Shane?
Well, the thing that jumps out at me here, Bruce, is they have really legit post play. They have for a year or two now with Alexis Putnam and Taylor Rawlings. Though, if they're able to get the ball into the scrimmage area and they're able to establish the ball getting into the post, they can have some success. I mean, both of these kids have proven that they can be double-doubles in terms of points rebounds every night out. Kelsey Bossert shoulders a lot of ball handling responsibility, but Derek, you can't help but look at their roster and notice, like, what, 13 out of 17 kids, I think, had a freshman or sophomore mm-hmm. next to their name. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things there. You'll hear different things. Some of the guards that they invested in over the last couple years, I know it kind of quit the program there a year or two ago. They kind of went more the volleyball route or whatever. Again, you know, that's just part of the building of a program, but to give you a nucleus piece to watch, those are two post players that really, really are legit. I mean, they can pretty match up. They can match up at the 4 or 5 spots with just about anybody in the league. Obviously, the key for Adina will be taking care of the basketball and getting into what they want to do. So, it'll be interesting to see how they progress as the year goes on.
Any thoughts there, Derek?
Well, Shane, you hit the nail on the head. It's for Dean, it's all about taking care of the basketball, in my opinion. They had 20 turnovers in the first half of Saturday's loss. Then they go to Logan Elman and had 28 the whole game and a 63-22 loss. So, I mean, they got kids that
that's
can score.
That's actually not bad against that Logan Elman team. That Logan Elman team's pretty athletic. So that's a big improvement from night one to night two there.
Well, but again, but still, it's 28 turnovers. Like, I don't care who you play. you turn the ball over 28 times, you're not going to win that basketball game. And right. that's their biggest problem. And talking to Richard Scott, who's a great coach, and he knows what he's talking about. He knows the way or his way around the basketball court. You know, that's exactly what he said. You know, we got to take care of the ball. I mean, 20 turnovers in the first half. I think they had 32 overall on their first game. So yeah, I mean, they did drop down to 28. But I mean, knowing Coach Scott, he's not taking a lot of positive out of that. You know, he's continued to work his kids in practice, and he should be. But you know, until they can take care of the basketball, you know, they're not going to be in games. And you'll see, and I'll say this, when they do win a basketball game this year, it will be because they took care of the basketball. We know they can score. We know Taylor Rawlings and Alexis Putnam are, you know, elite in the post. And we know Kelsey Bostert's a great athlete. And, you know, I think that Hannah Stark and Reese Kearns and Jay Johnson are all going to contribute a little bit more as the season goes along. I'm not saying that Adina is, you know, just a dumpster fire, but I will say that they've got a lot of work to do. But when they do that work and when they put that work in, you know, then they're going to start to progress and become a team that you know, Coach Scott really sees out of them.
All righty. So that's our review of the teams here. Shane, it's time for us to head to the fast break.
Yeah, always one of our favorite times of the show here. We pick up the pace a little bit. Bruce will throw out some questions, and Derek and I will do our best to not talk as much and try to give a little quicker paced answer. This is always brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club, 740-986-4653. Give them a call. Bruce did an awesome job earlier of describing all the things available on their website. Check them out there, but certainly appreciate that. So what we'll do, Bruce, go ahead and get started if you want with the fast break. We'll have Derek go first, and I'll follow in with an answer second.
A lot of attention has been given to the increased amount of three-pointers being shot in girls' basketball. How much of a factor do you expect the trifecta to play in this year's league race?
Well, I mean, I think when the three-pointer is in play, it's always going to be a factor in any type of race, any type of game. I think Huntington took 22 the other night. And I mean, that's just comes to mind because I remember thinking 22 three-point field goals. Wow, they're really, you know, shooting from long range. You just mentioned Leah McFadden hit 4 for Paint Valley. Hey, I know Halo Dobbins had a couple. So, you know, I mean, as it has in years past, the three-point shot is going to be looked at as, you know, if you can hit well from three-point shots, you're going to win basketball games, and that obviously plays in the league race.
Well, guys, I love the three-point shot. Anyone who knows me knows that. I think over the last 20 years of college basketball, you look at the March Madness, you look at the mid-major competing with the major schools, the three-point shot is the equalizer. And so when I look at size in the high school game, if you don't have size, I really think you can neutralize it with the three-point shot. I mean, you know, math's not what I teach every day, Derek, but three's more than two. So it's one of those things where I know for a fact the coaching staff at Huntington, the coaching staff at Uniota, those coaches love it. You look at Skeeton Wheeler at Southeastern. We mentioned Ward McFadden. Piketon even started to have some role players. You know, when I looked at the Adena Sports Medicine final stats last year, obviously Sam's pushed them to 63. She graduates. But, you know, Skeeton Wheeler's teammates hitting 45 and 37. That's a factor. In terms of just another thing in their arsenal that they can do that makes you be aware and have to defend.
Assuming you both agree that Ella Skeens is the league's best player, give the fans a few other elite returners you are expecting some big things from in the upcoming season.
Shane, I think we've pretty much mentioned almost every starter now on each team. I'm maybe I'll repeat myself here, but if you're looking at returners and you're looking at the elite returners, I think you got to go with Lexi Woods, you got to go with Kara Blanton, you got to go with Audrey Wheeler. Caroline Thiel saying that Ella Skeens isn't in that conversation. I think, you know, not in that order, but somewhere in that mix, you're going to find your 1 through 6 best players in the SBC.
No question. I mean, when you look from last year's all-league team to look at what's returning, you know, Skeens there at the top, Thiel, Blanton, Woods, Wheeler, I totally agree. And we have mentioned a lot. I think some kids getting a chance to step into new roles. Rawlings Putnam will have good numbers. McGill really stuffed the stat sheet at Huntington the other day. And then even though it won't always show up statistically, people who really appreciate the game will start to see a ruder impact and so forth. So, yeah, definitely those five that we mentioned, Bruce, are the best. But we'll also get introduced to some new stars as the year goes on.
And speaking of that, beyond the obvious stars, give the fans some names you are expecting will become breakout stars during the 2016-2017 season.
Well, I mentioned McDonald and Collins earlier, and I really think both of those I'll be writing their names a lot this year. I'm gonna go with Brianna Odell of Piketon. I'm gonna go with Emily Coleman of Uniota, and then I'm gonna go to Adina, and I'm gonna go with Reese Kearns. I think she brought a lot to the court. I know she may not have scored 80 points, but you could tell she's been there before. Maybe not at the varsity level, but she's played basketball. She knows, you know, her way around the game. So I'm going to go with those three, and then we'll make it five with McDonald and Collins.
Yeah, I certainly can't argue with the sophomores at Huntington or the freshmen there at Uniota. I'm going to go out to Paint Valley, and I'm going to go to Leah McFadden. I really think she's in for a breakout year. She picked up two fouls in the first minute of the Northwest game the other day and had to sit basically the rest of the first quarter and still got the double figures hitting four threes, and it was such a blowout. You know, she didn't even really play maybe the normal minutes she would have throughout. So when you consider their size inside, when you consider Dobbins at the point, and then if you put Lexi Woods back in the mix, I really think Lee is going to get her a chance to take a look at 6-7 pretty clean looks a night. And she's a pretty good shooter and pretty good athlete. I really think she's in for a breakout year.
In analyzing all that we've talked about during the show, what is a hidden headline that could play a big factor in this year's basketball season?
I'm going to go back to the youth at Uniota. I think if anybody challenges Southeastern for that title, that's not Piketon. You know, Uniota obviously has the best chance to do that, and I think that the youth is going to find Jeff Miller is going to find that his youth on that roster is really going to kind of carry that team, or it's going to sink that team. So that's something I'll be keeping my eye on throughout the rest of the season. If that youth can kind of step up, become older, grow up, and really, you know, kind of take hold of that conference race.
Well, Bruce, I hope it doesn't end up being injuries, because we've already talked about a few. Yeah. What I'm hoping really happens here is the fans should really enjoy this. It might drive coaches nuts on the defensive end, but I think you're going to see increased offense. We really have some teams that can score the basketball, the Southeastern and Uniota. Piketon scores it very efficiently. They won't always play the same tempo, but don't let some of their point totals confuse you, because they play it really efficient. But even like Huntington and Paint Valley, I don't even know that they played great the other day, and both were pushing 60 points there. So, you know, I think you're going to start to see a lot more offense on the girls' side than in years past, and I'm sure it'll be something that girls fans really enjoy watching.
And that is our fast break brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. Again, they've got some major specials going on right now as we're sitting here on the 28th of November. So give them a call at 740-986-4653, or you can find them on the web at crownhillgolfclub.com. Well, we want to remind you that as we start into this winter's session of SVC Sports Talk, we would really appreciate some feedback from you. Questions, comments, even if you're mad at Shane, yell at him. Yell at him through email at admin1 at svcsportszone.com. You can catch him on two different profiles on Facebook, and you can follow him at svcsportszone.com on Twitter. Derek, of course, our Twitter child, the handle there at DW1509, and his email address is dweb@chillicothegazette.com. You can always leave us a voicemail. Maybe this is the most effective way to yell at Shane, I guess, because we'll actually hear it. At DBK Media Services, listener line 740-569-3254. And we remind you to please subscribe to our podcast. You can do so through a podcast app where you can actually watch our feed for new episodes. That app will do that for you. You can also go to the DBK Media Services on any of the posts of the episodes and enter your email address, and you will get an email then every time there is a new podcast published. And you can always find SVC Sports Talk in the iTunes store, where we would really like for you to give us a great rating and a favorable review. We're down now to our post-game comments, brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment. Again, another great place to do some Christmas shopping. Find them at 116 East High Street in Circleville, 740-477-9828. Local school apparel, fitness gear, sports accessories, headwear, and sports equipment, all kinds of things for the sportsman on your holiday gift-giving list. And so, Shane, let's go to Derek first. Derek, what are your final thoughts on this upcoming girls basketball season?
Well, I mean, I can tell you this. I'm just really excited to see to be in the gym, cover a new sport other than volleyball, football. You know, that grind. And then I'm excited to see how our area teams do in the postseason. Like I mentioned a little earlier, I mean, I really I enjoy the long postseason runs. I enjoy seeing them play different competition. As a measuring stick to where our area is in the sport of basketball. And I'm just excited to get out there and cover something live rather than sitting here in the office and eating.
Well, that's not so bad, but basketball is a little bit more comfortable surroundings than football, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I can bring my chair. Yeah, we're good to go.
Yeah, Shane, what about you? Final thought on the upcoming season?
Well, really excited. Just a lot to take a look at. Fans, if you're not familiar with the show, we'll break down anything and everything basketball for you throughout the year. So people always make fun of me about how passionate I am with my opinions of Little League basketball. We'll talk junior high basketball philosophies. I think a lot of things on the girls' side. Some of our junior high and JV numbers have been pretty decent here the last couple years, and I think it's the reason we can graduate so much in our league and still have a pretty good product moving forward. But in terms of stretching it throughout the area, I still think some of those lower levels are where we're lacking, and we're going to have to do a better job. So those are some of the topics that will flow out there as well. So guys, really fun. We'll get out of here and we'll get right back at it to do the boys show. So fans, if depending on when in the week you are listening, on Wednesday night, make sure you get over and listen to our boys show as well. So a lot of fun. Look forward to the feedback. So until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, as well as all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes at DBK Media Services, and for Derek Webb, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting svcsportszone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.